For some creators, it's the hardest part about bringing a project to life: doing the math.
Yes, it sure is.
Many of our creators aren't quite sure where to start when it comes to getting financial support for their projects.
As we talked about last time, great ideas may be free, but making them a reality most definitely is not. You need funding.
There are so many different options when it comes to funding. Our creators sometimes feel overwhelmed about which groups or organizations to target.
We know it can be tough navigating Canada's diverse grant and funding landscape, but don't panic. We're here to help you handle that application process with confidence.
Welcome to First Frame, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger, and we're here to help empower new and emerging Canadian content creators by answering their most pressing questions, sharing diverse success stories, and getting those insights from people who have been down this path before.
On every episode, we unpack the journey of a leading Canadian creator, or creators, all the way from inception to completion.
Canadian content creators need a podcast to call home. This is it.
On this episode, we're going to continue our two-part deep dive into Canada's complicated grant and funding systems to help you find the right fit for your project.
Last time, we sat down with filmmaker and Tell a Story Hive program manager, Kent Dunginis, to get a first-hand perspective from his career as a creator.
Don't ever pitch a project, especially for production funding, when it's half-baked. So really take your time and develop, whether you're writing a script for a scripted project or writing a treatment for a documentary project. Make sure that you've thought of almost everything in it.
Today, we're going to speak with someone who sits on the other side of the table in those pitch meetings.
That's right. Janine Steele is a veteran media producer and arts administrator who has held senior roles at Creative BC, the National Film Board of Canada, and today she's the director of interactive digital media at Canada Media Fund. Janine, it's great to see you, and welcome to First Frame.
Thank you so much for having me, Jennifer and Cameron. I'm super excited for the conversation today.
We're excited to chat with you as well.
There's a lot to talk about when it comes to funding, but first, we'd love to learn a little bit about you and the work that you do. So how did you end up at the CMF?
It's been an interesting and fascinating road for me. I've really worked most of my adult life in public service, various funding agencies and government organizations. I started working with Creative BC in my early days, working in film financing, and really came from a background and interest in documentary filmmaking. But while I was there, really was exposed to a lot of the work that was happening at the CMF in its early inceptions around digital media and got really excited about that. I actually joined the National Film Board of Canada and worked as a head of production for their interactive studio here in Vancouver and really got an opportunity to get that production, active content production side of things under my belt. I had a great opportunity to work on interactive documentaries, exhibitions, mobile games, VR and XR content. And following that, I think that combination of experience, both in production and in the funding side, opened the door for me at the CMF. And I'm here now, overseeing, as I said, our interactive and digital media funding programs. It's been a really great exposure for me. I love that space. It's really playful and really allows Canadians to explore the stories that they want to tell to Canadian audiences using new forms of technology and media.
That's incredible, Janine. So, question for you. For creators who aren't familiar with Canada Media Fund, I'm quite certain we probably have a lot of them. perhaps you can share a little bit more about CMF's mandate and what kind of services and supports that you currently provide.
So CMF is Canada's largest screen-based financier. We have roughly $350 million a year that's spent primarily in film and television, and but also interactive and digital media. So that's everything from Schitt's Creek, Letterkenny, This Hour Has 22 Minutes, and through to video games, as I say, virtual reality and immersive physical location experiences. It really runs the gamut. We try to, again, try to be everywhere that Canadian content creators are trying to tell stories in sort of that wider commercial space and to reach wide Canadian audiences.
So this seems to be somewhat of a newer area. Like, are you the first person to have held the role as director of interactive media at the CMF?
Yes, it was a new role that I started just about 2 years ago. And so this is the first time they've had someone within the organization that does come from a background and experience in interactive and digital media. And so I feel very, very grateful to be in that role. I take a lot of pride in that and really want to make sure that I'm here representing what the industry needs, envisioning where they need to go, and hopefully help put in the programs to get them there. Like things like the Digital Creators Program, which supports content creators on different social media platforms.
I love the fact that you meet them where they're at.
Exactly.
What do you love most about your job, or what's been most exciting over the past 2 years?
I mean, I really love being able to support content creators where they're at, really thinking about not only, you know, what do they need Where are they going? How can we support them in getting there? It's really, to me, about uplifting and amplifying the voices of others who are telling really important stories in the country. I get excited about the content.
I think we will absolutely agree with that. We get excited about the content too.
You've also worked on the production side when you were at the National Film Board. How did that affect your understanding of the challenges creators are facing?
It was such a great opportunity and a great time to be working in a really sort of nascent emerging space. And really, I was able to then understand what producers and content creators are going through when they're in the middle of all of that sticky, gooey beauty of production. It's chaotic. You're having to make decisions sort of very, very quickly. And you don't always know if they're the right ones, but you have to go through it to follow the content, follow the story. And it really helped ground me in understanding what it's like now for people that are on the other side of the table when they think about how are they going to make these projects a reality. I can bring some of that understanding of what they had to go through the fire to get there.
Yeah, I think that's why in our roles with some of the people that we work on our team, we find that experience that they bring from the production world or being a filmmaker themselves is a huge, huge support for the work that we do with our creators as well, them being able to have been in their shoes before.
Absolutely.
And thank you for commenting that it might feel chaotic, because I do believe that a lot of our like new and emerging creators that aren't, you know, that jump in, they're doing something new, they're not familiar with the industry, probably feel that as soon as they start and probably go, what the heck did I get myself into?
Absolutely.
So hearing from someone that's been in the industry for quite some time to speak to that, I think just provides normalcy around that. Now let's talk about the Canadian funding landscape specifically. So in the past, you've described it as both great opportunities and great challenges. And I'd love to know why you describe it that way.
I think that the Canadian funding system is the envy in many ways around the world. People are, whenever we travel and people hear about the amount of public support that's available in the country to filmmakers, very envious of the deep, deep resources that we have. That does come as a double-edged sword because there's also a lot of people trying to access those same dollars. So despite the fact that there's quite a bit of breadth, we've got such a great host of talent across the country, all vying for, you know, essentially our very limited dollars. And the industry is growing every year, making that harder and harder. So that can become difficult and overwhelming for emerging filmmakers.
We always hope there's more funding, right?
Absolutely.
Well, and speaking of the funding, can you run us through the types of funding that are available for content creators out there?
I will say that, and this is not a plug in any way, shape, or form, but I will always direct people first to Tell a Story Hive. I think it's such a great place to start.
Thank you.
And again, very envious folks in the East when I talk about the opportunities that StoryHive provides in the West. So we're really, really lucky to have that resource here. So I think that's a great place to start. The other place that I really encourage folks to look at is obviously Creative BC, which is our provincial funding agency. And they, again, have programs that run the gamut from early development through production. They'll support market export. They support not only film and television, but digital media, music, and the book publishing industry. Lots of great resources there. Then you have Telefilm Canada, which focuses on film, feature film. We have Indigenous Screen Office, which is both an advocacy organization and now a recognized federal body, a funding body. And their counterparts at the Black Screen Office as well, which recently received news of contributions that they can start actively funding year over year. There's also the councils. So there's BC Arts Council and the Canada Council, which is another place for emerging filmmakers to start. Very different mandate from some of the more commercial funds that we're mentioning, but especially for folks that are starting on their first short films, those are great resources to have, really help build your body of work. Then from there, it's really about thinking about what your community is. There's lots of smaller funds that are targeted to particular groups, organizations, regions, locations. And so really think about, you know, who is your community? What stories are you trying to tell? And you can find dedicated financing for that. Things like the Rogers Group of Funds, there's the Independent Production Funds, there is Bell Funds. These are all, again, federal agencies that provide funding for different types of programs that you're doing. So it's really about thinking about what's the project that you're trying to tell. You know, is that is that drama, documentary? Is that a television? Is it feature film? And then finding the different pieces of the funding puzzle that meet what you're trying to say and do.
A little bit to navigate.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think what we'll find, what emerging filmmakers will find is it is very much a puzzle. And so when you find that the first funder that kind of come in the door, that starts to open and unlock other opportunities. And you can kind of start to see, what is the scope of the story that I'm trying to tell? How much money do I need to really do that? Find that first partner, investor, funder, and then the others will start to kind of fall into place.
That makes a lot of sense. So I have a question for you when it comes to common mistakes or misconceptions that you see from creators when they're looking for funding. At TeleStoryHive, obviously, we fund new and emerging. I think we're very lenient when it comes to our application pitches and those types of things. We don't expect everyone to know everything when they're coming to apply for funding. But what are some of the common mistakes and misconceptions that you see?
I think one is recognizing that these funds, they're not all created equal and they're not all designed exactly in the same way. While we generally have developed the system over the last 25 or 30 years where they can complement, you know, the mandate of the CMF, for example, is very different from Telefilm or from the Bell Fund. And so making sure that you're reading really, really carefully the guidelines for the programs that you're looking at, if they publish evaluation criteria, think about all of the points of that evaluation criteria and how you can really hit every single question or point that they're asking for. And you're going to have to tailor your pitch, tailor your documents a little bit for each funder so that you can really try and maximize what they're looking for. You know, we're heavily oversubscribed. People are going to look for ways to say no. You want to give them no opportunity to be able to do that.
That's great advice.
So sticking around the same concept of funding, I want to take a little bit different of approach. So when I want to talk about Bill C-11, which we all know is about copyright, a modernization of the Canadian Broadcasting Act, what impact do you think it's going to have on creators and their ability to fund projects?
It's been a really interesting time, I think, again, to be in the industry and watch the Bill C-11 come through. You know, it was monumental work that was taken to modernize and update the Broadcasting Act. I think on the surface, it doesn't change very much of the day-to-day. It's very much a policy discussion and where is the industry wanting to go and try and recognize that the way in which we consume content as audiences is very different. How Canadians are finding content is different and our systems need to be updated for that. It was a large part of it, especially in the film and television space, was really focused on how do we recognize what the role of streamers and international streamers have in a system where we've really built the system around domestic broadcasters primarily. So the CBCs and Bells and Globals of the world. And so it was like, that's not just where people are finding content anymore. So how do we bring them into the system so that we are, and we're able to utilize that to support Canadian content if we're consuming content on those platforms? That's where a lot of that conversation is had. So, and that's still ongoing. So the bill has passed, but now it's about the regulations of how that is administered. And that conversation is still happening at the federal level. So we haven't seen the impacts of that just yet, but it has a great potential for hopefully opening up new sources of funding opportunities for Canadians.
No, I agree. There's been so much change in the Canadian broadcasting system and trying to meet creators where they actually go now to create content, especially people who are just starting out. You know, they don't need to do the traditional way. They can go and create content in any form. If you have an iPhone, you could be creating content now. It doesn't have to be, you know, a big production and things like that. Mm-hmm. It'll be really interesting when they finally do finish all the discussions and all the regulations are finally complete to see how it actually transforms our Canadian broadcasting system.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, the important thing is that Canadians have access to content. Mm-hmm. And we're in a space now where Canadian content creators have the means by which to make that content for them. That's the goal.
So now it's time to take a little break from the funding conversation for a fun segment that we like to call What's in Your Kit?
We usually like to toss this question to our creators to find out about their favorite tools of the trade. But we're going to switch things up this time to find out if there's any hardware, software, or technology that you can't live without. So Janine, what's in your toolkit?
For me, it's really about tools that are available online. Less technology tools, perhaps. I mean, I can't live without my video conferencing, of course. So that's important. I love my AirPods and I love having access to, you know, all of my content on my phone. But for me, it's really about what are the resources that are available for me to share information. It's really about knowledge sharing and less about the tech piece of it. Things like Gender Equity Media Society, which is a local Vancouver-based organization. They publish what's called the Producer's Workbook, which is a really indispensable resource for emerging filmmakers, I think. Has hosts of everything you need to know about business affairs and producing in Canada. There's a video series that CBC and the CMPA and others have come together to produce called the One Stop Workshop, which is a series of video sessions on business and rights. Again, really, really important to have in my toolkit when I'm talking to folks about what to find. I think it's less about the technology that's in my hand and the knowledge that will bring me forward to the next piece that I want to do.
Love that. I think our viewers and listeners are going to be furiously writing down some notes so they can go and check all of those out. We talked a fair bit about the challenges that creators face in finding the right funding for their projects, and we know that this is a huge stumbling block. So let's get into some concrete advice. With so many options and potential partners out there, what's the first step that you would recommend a creator take? So for example, how do you determine what type of funding they should be going after, whether it's a grant or private investment or tax credits, et cetera?
I think the first step is really, it's about finding the team and the partners that are going to help you bring your story and your vision to life. I often think about, like, what's the primary role that you want to play? Is it, if you're a filmmaker, do you prefer to be the writer or the director or the producer or some combination of that? That's great. But don't try to do all three of them. So think about who's the right person. If you're a writer-director, who is the producer that's going to help you bring that to life? They're frankly going to be the one that's going to think about all of these questions around that financing puzzle, about business affairs, about, you know, what do you sign? When do you get the lawyers to look at it? When does the accountant come in? What are tax credits? How do you file them? If that's not your bailiwick, find someone to do that for you. Find those folks.
Yep.
To me, it's about finding that community, and it's, you know, going to meetups and industry events, going to VIF, going to things that are put on by the Canada Media Producers Association, by the Documentary Organization of Canada, to GEMS, to Filmable. There's all sorts of myriads of places people can go to meet like-minded folks that are also wanting to make content in this city, in this province. And so find those people, find that right team, and that will start to open doors. Work through it together.
I absolutely love that, because in previous episodes, we've had so many guests say, find your community. And it just is sort of this consistent piece of advice when it comes to any portion of your project.
So I've now found the perfect funding. How do I go about now creating a strong application, in your opinion? And what's going to make that application stand out if I'm applying for that funding?
Definitely think about, what is it that the main purpose of that fund is? How have they described what their goals and their mandate are? Think about how you hit those notes in your application form. That's really the first place to start. If there's evaluation criteria, read those really, really carefully. Think about how your application, within the prescribed limits that they may have given you, we all do this, how do you hit the points that they're looking for so that it's very, very easy for them to say yes?
You talked about, as a creator, determining what your role is going to be when it comes to the project. So obviously, making sure you've got clearly defined roles amongst you and your team, and when it comes to your collaboration. So how does defining these roles up front influence funding opportunities?
The team is always a big part of any sort of funding application, both what is the respective background and experiences of the folks on your team? How do your skills complement each other and support each other? How do you work together? These are all questions that often funding agencies will ask you to kind of demonstrate through your application process. So being able to articulate who is doing what, when, and how, and really speaking to your strengths at different times in the application will help all of that come through. It's really, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, if that makes sense.
So then to dive into that a little bit more, because I think from a creator, they might be concerned with, I have knowledge gaps. So if they've gone out and they've sort of found their team that fills those knowledge gaps, then that is sufficient for you as a funder. Or, you know, do you still find issues if you have someone that comes to apply and they don't know everything?
Yeah, you're going to try and minimize any of those gaps that you can. I think we can also recognize that there needs to be pathways and opportunities to enter in the industry.
Yep.
So it may be that if you're an emerging team, think about the programs that are designed for emerging filmmakers. So again, that's spaces like Tell a Story Hive. Creative BC has specific programs for emerging filmmakers. The questions that they're asking and what they're looking for are going to be a little bit different than if you're competing in a program that is looking for a strong track record. Think about where's a good place to start and how are these programs meeting you at the stage you're in your career? And then again, speak to that. So then it might be more about what's the potential that you have within the industry. How do you show that? How do you show that I'm a good bet?
Before we go, are there any words of encouragement or wisdom that you can provide our content creators listening or watching our podcast today when it comes to sourcing funding?
What I would say is that, you know, I think really, truly believe in yourself and your message. You are your own best advocate at the end of the day. And, you know, we try to demystify and make this process as easy as possible. But, you know, the reality is we're bureaucratic. We're heavily oversubscribed. We ask for too much information and not enough at the same time. And you're going to hear no way more often than you're going to hear yes. Mm. And so you have to remember that this is your vision, your story, really, truly believe in yourself. And also think about when you're approaching funding agencies, there may be partners or investors that come on and they want to change things here or there. And that's good. That's fine. That's part of a collaborative process. But make sure that you're always remaining true to the story and the vision that you want. And think about, is this the right funding for me, given where I want to go and what I want to do with this project? So think about all those things and really, again, stay true to yourself.
That's great advice. That really is.
Janine, this has been such an insightful conversation. Before we go, where can our listeners learn more? And are there any additional resources that you would recommend?
Well, for the Canada Media Fund, I encourage everyone to head to our website, cmf-fmc.ca. And I also recommend maybe another piece, a tool to think of is a project that was put together by Creative BC called Creative Pathways. It's a great website with all sorts of resources for those who are trying to enter the industry at any stage, both below the line, above the line, and help you find that community, help you find the pathway to your project.
This has been super helpful. Thanks so much for chatting with us here on First Frame.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, Cam, we've covered a lot of ground about funding over the past two episodes. So what would you say is your biggest takeaway from our guests that we've heard from?
Oh my gosh, I'd have to say definitely there's a lot of funding options out there, but there's also a lot of people who are competing for that funding. Also, make sure that you know who you're applying to and why you're applying to them. I heard that loud and clear too. Don't just do a blanket fund ask to everyone. It's like find the funding that works best for you and your project. And then also don't lose yourself in applying for funding, making sure that you're losing the story that you want to tell just based on the type of funding you're applying for. Make sure it meets what you need it to meet for the story you need to tell.
Exactly. You know, just keeping that authentic feel to your project, because if it's not a fit for one funder, it probably will be for another one. And I think that's a really good point of just understanding that not everything is going to be a fit, right? So it's a lot of navigating. You are going to have a lot of no's. The no doesn't mean your project doesn't have value and it doesn't have worth and it's not an amazing story. It just might not be a fit for that particular funder. So,
and you're one more no closer to your yes.
That's a great way to look at it. Put a positive spin on it. Yeah. That's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us today.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single episode. And be sure to tune in next time when we'll discuss optimizing your budget and sharing some practical tips on making every dollar count.
If you'd like to learn more about how Tell a Story Hive can help you along your content creation journey, you can check out storyhive.com. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. That's a wrap.